Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read, Isaiah chapter 49, and we shall read from verse 24. Isaiah chapter 49, reading from verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. This chapter speaks of Christ whom God sent to save his people from their sins, not only the people of Israel, but also he is a light to the Gentiles. The church will be expanded and include others throughout the whole world. And this is beyond the church's expectations. As we considered not too long ago, the church had complained that she was forgotten. But the Lord can no more forget his people than a mother can forget her little child. And even if they would forget, yet it is impossible for the Lord to forget his people. As we look at verse 16, or rather 17, thy children shall make haste, they will come, and thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste, shall go forth of thee. So the children are gathered in, and the enemy is cast out. This is the great comfort that the church experiences. God has promised that the church will enlarge her borders, and the Gentiles will come in, and kings and queens shall be nursing fathers and mothers to the church. The nation and the state will support the progress of the church. And yet there seems to be an obstacle. And that obstacle is expressed in our text. The question is asked, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Surely it's too hard for captive sinners to be delivered from Satan's grasp or heathen darkness. And is it not impossible to liberate sinners from what they deserve, even to be punished justly for their sins? Surely we cannot expect sinners who deserve God's wrath and curse to be saved and be brought in from the realm of heathendom. But what is impossible for man is possible with God. And this is what God says, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. God will do this because Christ has satisfied divine justice, and he has the power to set sinners free from Satan's grasp. And God himself will oppose all those who oppose him and his purpose. And he says, I will contend, I will strive with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. The children are the children of Zion. They are his church, his people. And each one of them will be gathered to Christ into his church. I will save thy children. And so, as we look at this text this evening, with the Lord's help, we would consider, first of all, the terrible captivity. The terrible captivity. And secondly, the taking away of the captives. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And they will be delivered by the merit of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. And then thirdly, the triumph of Christ for the children. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. So we see here a terrible captivity, captives of the mighty. And they are sinners like you and me, held bound by Satan. But the taking away of the captives by Christ is a promise, and that is what we would dwell upon and pray for. And then thirdly, the triumph of Christ for the children. Are you one of the children? Yes, you're a child, perhaps, of the visible church, a child of the church in a visible way. But it is not enough to be a member of the visible church. And we can have all the outward privileges. We can hear sermon after sermon. We can receive baptism. We can go to the Sabbath school. We can have such good influences all around us and still go to hell. All that is solemn. You need to be saved. You need a new heart. You must be born again. We need to be delivered from the power of darkness, from Satan and his tyranny, and be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can have no part with it. None of the blessings, none of the real saving blessings of it, without the new birth, without faith in Christ, without coming, without repenting. So we pray that God would pour out his Spirit, that the word that we hear would come into our experience with saving power, that we would experience the effectual call, the word of God going forth and the Holy Spirit coming at the same time to enable us from the heart to receive Christ and to turn from sin and to follow the Lord, that we would leave the kingdom of Satan, that we would enter the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, we will think about the terrible captivity. Here's a question. It's the question that we find in our text. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Here's a question. And it's, of course, expecting a negative answer. Can this really happen? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? Isn't this too difficult? Isn't this an obstacle that's just beyond any power to overcome? Well, look at the obstacle. The prey taken from the mighty. And it is spoken of as the prey of the terrible. This is a terrible captivity, a terrible tyrant ruling over captives, holding them fast and chaining them down. And that's you, friend, if you haven't come to Christ. Now, that's you if you have not been born again. That's you if you're not one of the Lord's people, because you're following the devil's will, going about to please yourself. You may think that you're doing God's service, or you're obeying your parents. How can you be doing the devil's will? Because your aim is not the glory of God. It's not from love in the heart. And you may say all the right things and do all the right things on the outside, but as far as Satan is concerned, if you don't have a new heart and you're not in Christ and your sins are not forgiven, you're in his kingdom, you're in his grasp. And Satan is this mighty oppressor. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Satan has sinners in his grasp. He's holding them. Satan is called the strong man armed. Strong man armed. You've seen some strong men, I'm sure. They can lift heavy, heavy objects. Satan is the strong man armed. He has armor. And the Lord Jesus says that he is holding his goods in peace. The word mighty is used to describe a warrior who has strength, and he is successful, a successful warrior. And how successful Satan is. when he can tempt us to think about what we'd like to do this week, instead of thinking about the sermon, you're thinking about your friends in the pew beside you, but you're not thinking about Jesus Christ, and you're not longing to come to Christ. Satan has you in his hands, and he's blinding you, he's blindfolding you, he's deceiving you. And his goods are in peace, and that's you. His goods, his favorite objects are souls like you. He doesn't care about millions of dollars. He doesn't care about flash cars. He wants precious souls. He wants to keep them in his kingdom. That's you. Precious souls. If he can just gather as many as he can and pour them into hell, as it were, well, he has a tight grasp on sinners like you and me. And his goods are in peace, the Lord Jesus says. He has the sinner tightly, securely in his hold, as the sinner makes no effort to get free. There's no fear of the sinner escaping. Why? Because the sinner is quite happy to do the devil's will. Sinners like you and me, by nature, we're quite happy to take the bait and go along with the flow of our own sinful desires. Satan has so much to work with. He can put the temptation in front of our view, and all he has to do is watch and see it happen. We go for it. We fall in with it. We follow the ways of the devil because we love sin. Our hearts love sin. Admit the truth, friend. You love sin. Augustine, before he was converted, he had a friend. His friend said, "I will not go to the shows. I will not go to watch the gladiators fight to the death." Well, his friends took him by force and carried him to the theater, the arena, and said, "No, I will not watch. I will not open my eyes." Well, then he heard the two men fight, and the audience or the viewers roared and cheered, and he was forced to open his eyes. His own heart made him. And there he was sold, he gave himself up to watch the shows, to go to the, to watch the gladiators, to see the savagery that sadly is in our hearts by nature. Well, that's our own evil hearts. And Satan has such success over sinners to drag them into his own ways, because of the sinful love that we all have of evil things. Satan has so much power. He is called the Mighty. He's a warrior. He's a lion going about to devour, seeking whom he may devour with such savagery. And yet there is subtlety. He's also called the serpent because he deceives. And that's how he has influence over others, not by force, although he is the strong man, but his armor is a deceptive kind of armor, and his power is not coercive, but persuasive. He doesn't force you. He lures you. He tempts you. He lies to you. He doesn't take you by the arms and legs, as Augustine's friends took their friend to do. Satan doesn't do that, but he leads you on. He puts the bait in front of you, and you follow that. Well, he is the cruel master because he is deceiving us to do what is not in our own best interests, but what is destructive to us, what will ruin us for eternity, to lead us to that burning lake, to be tormented day and night, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the cruelty of Satan. This is the hold that he has. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? It seems impossible. Satan, by his subtlety, ruined, as it were, well, he ruined the whole human race when he deceived our first parents. And they were innocent, and they, at first, they were sinless, and yet they believed the lie. How much more success does Satan have with sinners like you and me who have sin already? They're in Satan's grasp. It's like the lamb is in the lion's mouth already, and it seems so impossible to be rescued. But the case is even more dire. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? The lawful captive. It's one thing if the prey would be taken from the mighty, but it's another thing for the lawful captive to be delivered. You notice in the margin that the words are the captivity of the just. The words can be translated a righteous conqueror. Here is the captives of a righteous conqueror. The captivity of the just. The captives of a righteous conqueror. Think of David. He was a righteous conqueror. He was the anointed king, and he had a commission to destroy the enemy, to go to all these surrounding nations like Moab and Edom, and he would have victory over them, and he would bring back the captives. Imagine someone going to David and say, "Please, King David, let these captives go free." David would say, "These are lawful captives, and I'm a righteous conqueror. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be in chains. They deserve to go to prison." David was a righteous conqueror. So here are captives who are lawfully detained. They are lawfully captive. They are lawfully taken as captives. And this is a picture of God's justice. God is a righteous conqueror. He holds captives justly, righteously. God, who is righteous, is holding sinners bound over to his wrath and curse. You see, friends, sinners are bound not only by Satan, but they are bound by the justice of God, under the wrath and curse of God. Do you understand that? Every sinner unconverted, every sinner not in Christ, every sinner not born again is set apart to destruction in a prison under God's wrath and curse, under the sentence of divine vengeance, to suffer hellfire forever, bound over by our own sin, held captive lawfully by God, who is righteous. Sinners are in the grip of divine justice. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? How can they escape? How can sinners go free when they deserve? There's David. He's saying, these Edomites, they deserve to be put in prison. They deserve death. How dare you plea for them? These are the enemies of God. And you're an enemy of God by wicked works in your sinful heart. We're all enemies by nature. The Lord's people, before they're converted, they're enemies. That's what the apostle says. Enemies. Enemies by wicked works. Enemies because their sinful hearts go their sinful ways against God, against God's law, in opposition, in rebellion against God, an enemy. If you're not believing in Christ and repenting of sin, you're an enemy of God. What can I say? It's the word of God saying that there is no in between. You're either a friend or a foe. Oh, that sinners would be convinced of this. How we need the Holy Spirit to show us this. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? They deserve to perish. And how can they be plucked from Satan's grasp when they deserve to be held bound in the chains of divine justice. You see, Satan is a usurper, yes. He doesn't have a natural right over sinners. He doesn't have some kind of inherent rule over them. He has usurped dominion over them. He has stolen that influence and power over sinners. But Satan has great advantage over sinners because sinners are under the curse of God. Sinners deserve to be abandoned and left to their own ways and to follow Satan. They deserve to be held in bondage, and that is why Satan has the power of death. It's as if they've been given up to Satan, although Satan is a usurper and he doesn't have the right to rule over them. But you see, if the captives of a righteous conqueror will not be delivered, how much less those taken by a mighty warrior? We can't expect Satan to let go of his prey, to let go of the sinner, when divine justice demands they be bound over to God's wrath and curse. So what is the answer to this question? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? They deserve to be abandoned. They deserve the curse. They don't deserve to be set free from Satan. No. So what is the answer? Well, it seems never. It's not possible. They can never go free. Well, that's what unbelief says. And that's what Satan will tell you. You'll never go free. You'll never be let loose. You'll never have liberty from Satan's kingdom. You might as well give up in despair because it's impossible. Satan is lying to you. Unbelief is telling you that. And will you trust your own heart? Will you believe the lies of Satan? What is the answer of God? What saith the Lord? It is not never. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? It seems like it's impossible, but this is what God says. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. What is impossible with us? And it is impossible. It is impossible for flesh and blood. It is impossible for any power but divine power. Only God can set the sinner free. What is impossible with us is possible with God. And God will accomplish his purpose. He will set the sinner free. He will deliver the prey and the captive from the mighty and the terrible. Thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Well, in the second place, the taking away of the captives. When this question is put, it's bringing before us the obstacles. The way the question is put, a negative answer is expected, but a positive answer is given. And we must not listen to our own thoughts when they contradict God's word. We must not listen to the devil's lies. We must not give place to the response of unbelief. But we need to listen to the positive response of God's infallible word. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. This is what the Lord says. This is what Jehovah says. He who is self-existent, self-sufficient, all power is in himself, able to accomplish whatever he pleases. He is sovereign and free in his choices. He's not forced to do anything. He's not forced to save anybody. He doesn't have to save anyone. But he will. He will save. He freely saves, and he will certainly accomplish what he has determined to do, because he is the Lord, he is the great I am. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And so the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Even what is most difficult will take place. What seems impossible, God will actually perform. He will do this wonderful, this amazing thing. God will do it. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Well, the word mighty was used, of course, to describe the evil one. But God himself is a mighty warrior. And we can apply the word here, or this phrase here, to God's righteous hold of the captive in the prison that they deserve. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. So God's justice has a hold upon sinners. They deserve to be shut up to their own unbelief. It's an act of wondrous grace when a sinner is enabled to believe in Christ for salvation. God is mighty, and he has infinite power, and his justice is inflexible, and his holiness requires that the sinner receive the just reward of his deeds. As one of the Puritans says, Satan is mighty, but God is almighty. And while Satan has no just claim of influence over the sinner, God and his justice has a righteous claim over the sinner, to be keeping the sinner bound under the curse. That's what the sinner deserves. We don't deserve life. We don't deserve deliverance. We don't deserve escape from the punishment we deserve. But the wonder is, even the captives of the just, the captivity of the just, the captives of a righteous conqueror, even such will be delivered. Even these will escape. How can this be? It is because Christ died on the cross to satisfy what justice demanded. Christ endured the very punishment that the sinner deserved. He is the sinner's substitute. He takes the place. You and I deserve God's wrath and curse. We deserve to be given up, bound over in the prison of hell forever and ever. We deserve the penalty of death. But Christ suffered it. He suffered it in the place of sinners, so that the lawful captive, the captive who deserves it, the captive who is lawfully captive, the captive who deserves to be captive, even this lawful captive may be delivered, may be taken away. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. They will be taken away from death. They will be set free from eternal punishment. They will be set free from the wrath and curse of God they deserve, because Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for enemies. Paul the Apostle says, for even when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Enemies reconciled to God through the death of Christ, through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He it is who opens the prison doors. He unlocks the gates. He has the keys of hell and of death. He has purchased this freedom by his blood so that he may open the prison door. He says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. To him belong the issues from death. He can save you from death. He can save you from eternal death. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away from the prison of death and hell and judgment. Yes, this is what Christ has done. He has, by his death, met the requirements of the law and justice of God. He has suffered the penalty of death, the curse of the law. He suffered the wrath of God for sinners like you, to set sinners like you free. Will you hear so as to live and be saved? Or will you just listen to the devil and say, it's not for me, it's not for me, it's impossible? Well, that's unbelief and that's the devil's lies, because God says here, shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Shall this lawfully detained prisoner be set free? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Those who deserve death, those who deserve the prison, those who deserve captivity, they shall be taken away. They shall be set free. Because Christ died for the ungodly. So look to him to set you free. Look to him to rescue you. Yes, even from the terrible tyrant, the devil. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. If the justice of God will let the captives go free, how much more will Satan have to let go his prey? If God's very justice is satisfied, God's holiness is satisfied, so that the sinner can go free, sinner can be set free from death, how much more will Satan be forced to let go his prisoner, let go his prey? He's not permitted to hold those whom justice has set free. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The prey of the terrible, as a lion has the prey in his mouth and is ready to shred it to pieces. This antelope that the lion has in its mouth. Well, the lion must let go the prey. Satan must let go his victim. He is the terrible enemy. He is the oppressor. The word, it means he who causes terror. The prey of the terrible. This word terrible means he who causes terror. He is violent. He strikes terror in the hearts of others around him. Well, if sinners only had their eyes opened, they would see how duped they are and how they're doing the devil's will. They would be terrified of the devil. They would see where Satan will lead them to eternal misery. Oh, that your eyes will be open, that you would see how powerful Satan is. Oh, friends, if you don't believe that, just look around you today. Why is this church only half full? If Satan didn't have so much influence, this church would be full to overflowing. But Satan is just leading one sinner after another astray. How sad that is. But as we have said numerous times, what is impossible with men is possible with God. That is the word of Christ. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The prey of the enemy who strikes terror in his victims, if they were only allowed to see it. Sinners in the grip of him who has the power of death, they will be set free. And how? Well, they will be set free by the redemption Christ purchased. Christ gives deliverance by price and by power. Satan is a vanquished, defeated, destroyed foe. If the Lord's people would only think about that a little more, I think it gives great comfort to those who dwell upon that theme. Satan is defeated. He's within the power of Christ, and Satan cannot move an inch beyond what Christ allows. Well, Christ has destroyed Satan as to his power, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Remember the children. They will be brought in to the church. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Christ took part of flesh and blood, that through death, through dying, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Through death, Christ destroys the devil and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that Satan would be judged, the prince of this world is judged and cast out when Christ would be lifted up on the cross. A mortal wound was given to the enemy when Christ died. And Christ dying on the cross secured the final overthrow of Satan's kingdom and his power and dominion was broken. And that is how he sets the sinner free, by dying, so that Satan is restrained and bound, and he will experience a complete overthrow. But even though Christ died to set the sinner free, Satan will not relinquish his hold upon the sinner. He knows that Christ died for a multitude which no man can number, many, many, many thousands, if not millions or billions of sinners Christ died for. We don't know how many, but we know that there are so many that they cannot be counted, and Satan knows that. But he will still not let go. His goods are in peace. He doesn't want to let go of his precious treasure. That's you. He doesn't want to let go of you. He doesn't want to let go of sinners next door. He himself is an unwilling captive. He is conquered, yes, but he's a raging foe. Satan is full of malice and rage, but he will be forced to let go. He has to let go. How? Well, Christ is stronger than he. When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils, so that Christ by his Spirit binds the strong man. He restrains Satan. Satan can go only as far as Christ will let him, and that when the time comes, Satan has to just let go his grip upon the sinner. And also Christ spoils the strong man, that is Satan, by giving the sinner a new heart. Giving the sinner a new heart. Renewing the will. The new heart. Being born again. The Holy Spirit planting inside you a new heart so that your eyes are opened. Your heart goes out to Christ. I could probably ask every one of you who's over the age of 4 or 5, have you ever felt your heart go out to somebody? The 5-year-old can say, yes, my heart goes out to my mother. The husband says, my heart goes out to my wife, and so on. To a parent, to a child, your heart's going out. Well, the Lord Jesus, when he delivers the sinner from Satan, puts in us a new heart and draws the heart to himself, and we feel our hearts go out to Christ. If you never felt that go out to Christ, you need to pray earnestly that God would give you a new heart, that your heart would go out to Christ. You'd feel something. I need Christ. I desire Christ. And that is the evidence that you've been delivered from the power of Satan, that the prey of the terrible is delivered, the prey, the victim, that antelope in the lion's mouth has been snatched out, set free, and there goes the antelope leaping and bounding over the plain, and the lion is defeated, falls over half dead, never to have total dominion over that antelope again. Satan will never have total dominion over the sinner that Christ has set free. What a promise we have before us. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? It seems so unlikely. But thus saith the Lord. We must listen to what God says. Even the captives of the mighty, even the captives of a righteous conqueror shall be taken away. And the prey of the terrible, the one who causes terror in the hearts of others, shall be delivered, shall be rescued. God will do it. Christ has died for this. He has secured this liberation, this freedom. Freedom from the stronghold of the enemy. Setting sinners free from heathenism and darkness all over the world. And Christ himself calls. He is calling the sinner. And he is commanding it. He has been appointed to this. Just listen to verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, he is speaking to Christ, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. In other words, the whole world will belong to Christ. People all over the world will come to Christ. They will come into the church all over the world, all over this globe, in China, as the rest of Asia, in Europe, in North America, South America, all over the world, people, the inhabitants of the earth, will all come to Christ. Christ will establish the earth to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, these lonely places that are so far from Christ. Even these will come. Verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners. Christ is saying to the prisoners, those who are in the grip of Satan and in heathen darkness, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They will be set free. They will come forth into the light of the gospel day, set free from Satan's grip and kingdom and delivered over into the hand of Christ in his kingdom. Are you obeying that call? When Jesus says, go forth, you who are in darkness, are you hearing? Are you ready to come forth? Come to Christ out of darkness. Jesus promises, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, that is God sending Christ, appointing him to call the sinner, to set the prisoner free, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He is already passed from death unto life already, and will never go back to condemnation. Because Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ will have a seed to serve him. He will have children gathered to him. His children are the church, and he will gather them from all over the world. He will triumph over the enemy. He will gather his people to himself into the church. He will triumph for the children. And that's what we consider thirdly, the triumph of Christ for the children. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. This verb, contend, is used for both physical combat and verbal combat. It's striving and fighting. Pleading a case brings before us the idea of a lawsuit. And God is saying, I will contend or strive with him that contends or strives with you. Well, there's the enemy, Satan. He's striving with you. He's contending with you. He's lying to you. Say, you don't deserve this. God is angry with you. You cannot expect salvation. Look at all your sins. He's the great adversary. And he is resisting sinners, resisting God, who will save sinners. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, we read about Joshua the high priest. He was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan was resisting him, probably saying to him, yes, you're a priest, but you don't deserve to be a priest. You've been unfaithful. You don't deserve to be going into the house of God and offering up sacrifices. But while Satan was resisting, the Lord was pleading the cause of Joshua. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Joshua is a brand plucked out of the fire. He has been saved from the tyranny of Satan. He has been saved so that divine justice now requires his freedom. He's plucked as a brand out of the fire. He's not going into hellfire. He's been saved from it. And how dare Satan resist him and say he doesn't deserve it? Well, he doesn't deserve it. In that sense, Satan has something to say, but it's only half the truth. He's ignoring the fact that Christ died for him. And who did Christ die for? All believers. And who should believe? Everyone who hears the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you come to Christ, then you'll know that Christ died for you. And here's a sinner who is coming to Jesus Christ. And Satan is saying, no, 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 you can't do that. No, 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 you don't deserve that. But Jesus died for this sinner. And he is the one who pleads the cause of this sinner. Because this is a saved sinner. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. And I will save thy children. Oh, Jesus died for the children. He took part of flesh and blood like them. He's the elder brother. He died for the children. He will have his children. Satan will have to let go. One way or the other, whenever the time comes, that he will be forced to let go his hold on sinners for whom Christ died. Well, God is he who pleads the cause of his people. He is the opponent of Satan. And when you have the adversary and you have the opponent, and Satan is the adversary and the opponent is God, who do you think will win? Who do you think is going to win this contest? God will have the victory. He asks the question, he answers the question, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. They deserve death. There is no doubt about that. Jesus Christ is the righteous advocate, and he doesn't say, they're good people, they will do their best. That's not what he says. They deserve hell, they deserve everlasting fire, but I have died for them. Who did Jesus die for? Let me ask you again. He died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly, and God's love is commended toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, on that basis, this is the plea. This is how the argument can be carried forward and win. That Christ died for the soul that comes to him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He is covered, she is covered in the righteousness of Christ. And on the basis of the completed work of Christ, Christ intercedes. Christ pleads their case. God in Christ will contend with those that contend with his people. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. So, friend, are you coming to Christ? Just to apply the words before we try to move on and conclude. Are you coming to Jesus? Does your heart go out to him? Are you saying in your soul that you have no other hope but Jesus Christ? Well, is that not evidence that he's your representative, he's your Savior, that his blood cleanseth you, and if Satan comes and condemns you, and your conscience accuses you, sometimes it brings before you again all your sins, or Satan may have a hand in it, showing you all your sins, but Jesus is your Savior. He died for you. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. That's the answer. That's the plea. That's the answer to the question. shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Well, God is saying that he is the Savior. I will save. It's so good to look at the Hebrew because we can see the two personal pronouns. I, he says, I will contend with them that contend with thee, and I will save thy children. It is a very emphatic pronoun in the Hebrew. God will do it. Can we save ourselves? Can parents save their children? No. I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. How good that is, because we cannot save our children. When Augustine's mother, Monica, was very concerned about her son, when he was growing up a young man and he was getting into all kinds of mischief and he was stealing pears, and later on he would love to go to the shows, and he was giving in to licentiousness and wantonness. He was living a pleasure-seeking life. His mother was distraught. She was weeping for her son, Augustine. She went to a minister who was called a priest in those days. And she was weeping before him, please come speak to my son and save him and teach him about all these errors that he is following. But the minister said, no, Augustine is unteachable. It will do him no good. He's puffed up with this novelty of this heresy. Just pray to God for him, he said, and he will find out that those errors are errors indeed. But this didn't satisfy Monica. She was begging the minister to go speak with her son. With tears, she was asking him. But then at last the minister said, go thy ways and God bless thee, for it is not possible that the son of these tears should perish. And now we should be praying for our children and recognizing that the words of this minister are not infallible. God's word is infallible. And yet this word of this minister to Augustine's mother gave her great encouragement. She continued to pray up to the very moment of his conversion, and the Lord heard her prayer and answered her cry and saved her son. Now we have these words before us, and I will save thy children. And we know that all the children of Christ are the true children of the church, and they will all be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And yet we have here a vehicle to carry our desires for our children, our loved ones, people in the church who are not converted, to carry up our desires to God, that we might express these desires, pouring out our hearts to the Lord, knowing that we cannot save our children. But if their children are ever going to be saved, it is by the Lord himself. I will save thy children. I will save thy children, the children of the church throughout the world. And we are given this great privilege of praying. It's our duty to pray for one another and for our children, those who have been baptized, those who are in the church, those who have heard the truth, those who are outside the church, who have left the church. As the father looked for the prodigal to return, expecting no doubt a return, so we should be prayerfully looking out for the return of those who have left the ways of the Lord. Because the Lord is a hearer of prayer. This is what we know. O thou that hearer art of prayer. And again, these words before us give us suitable words to pray. Thou, Lord, hast said, I will save thy children. It doesn't mean all of my children, necessarily. But the children of the church, children of those who profess the truth. Here are the words to use. It is God who will save. If it is God who will save anyone who is saved, and the only way they can be saved is by the doing of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I will save thy children. What efficacious grace God has, effective and powerful in accomplishing all his purposes. And we have beautiful words in the Confession of Faith to describe what the Lord Jesus Christ does. And I would like to quote these words: to all those for whom Christ hath purchased redemption, he doth certainly and effectually apply and communicate the same. He communicates redemption. He gives the benefits of salvation. This is what he does, making intercession for them and revealing unto them by the word, in and by the word, the mysteries of salvation, effectually persuading them by his Spirit to believe and obey, and governing their hearts by his word and Spirit, overcoming their enemies by his almighty power and wisdom in such manner and ways as are most consonant to his wonderful and unsearchable dispensation. You cannot limit the Lord. He will save when and how he will. I will save thy children. And friend, we are to look to him to do the impossible, to set sinners free from the grip and the tyranny and the cruelty of Satan, knowing they deserve to be abandoned. They deserve to be left. We're to pray for almighty power to work in your case, in my case, in everyone who is a poor sinner, and we're all poor sinners on earth. And if you're feeling a poor sinner and you're feeling bound tonight, what are you to do? Pray for release. Pray for release by the precious blood of the Lamb. Plead the cause that Christ pleads, hope for the poor blind sinner, the imprisoned sinner. What would you think of a prisoner who was told, if prisoner, you inmate, just looked over there to the mayor with a desire for deliverance, you'll be free. You'll be set free. Just look over to him. He'll set you free. You would think that's a wonderful thing, amazing freedom. Well, it's the very same way for those who look to Jesus Christ. There is life in a look. It's a look through the darkness, it may be, to Christ, the light of the world. It's a look through the whale that Jonah was in when he said, I will look again to thy holy temple. Looking unto Jesus, you'll be set free from the chains and the tyranny and the darkness of the evil one and the punishment that you deserve. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, grant that we would each one look to Christ. Set us free from our darkness. Set us free from our bondage. Set us free from the prison house of sin and a lost condition, and make us free in Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hear us, Lord. Hear our cries, the cry of the needy, the destitute, thou surely wilt regard, and pardon us and accept us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 124. Psalm 124, from the beginning of the first version. Had not the Lord been on our side, may Israel now say, had not the Lord been on our side when men rose us to slay, they had us swallowed quick, when as their wrath against us did flame, waters had covered us, our soul had sunk beneath the stream. Then had the waters swelling high over our soul made way. Blessed be the Lord, who to their teeth us gave not for a prey. Our souls escaped as a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare asunder broken is, and we escaped are. Our sure and all-sufficient help is in Jehovah's name, his name who did the heaven create and who the earth did frame. We will sing this psalm to God's praise, Psalm 124, from the beginning, the first version of the psalm. Had not the Lord been on our side.